For the past 6 years, Atlanta-based filmmaker William Fagans has kept himself busy. He shot about 50 music videos and made 4 short documentaries focusing on the Atlanta hip-hop scene. For our weekly filmmaker segment, 24 FPS, William spoke with WABE's Gabby Watts about documentary and music video making.
And so when you do a music video with an artist, who kind of has the creative control in those situations? Do you plan it together, or how does that work?
It depends on the artist. Some of them have their own ideas and they just want you to execute their ideas and bring it to life. And some of them are more collaborative. And then others, they just want to show up and you tell them what to do.
And what is the, because it seems now with any sort of single that you're going to put out, it's almost as if you have to have a music video as well. So, I mean, even in the past 6 years of doing music videos, have you seen that as well? And what is the importance for a song to have a music video component with it?
It definitely is more prevalent now. Part of it is the availability of the resources to create a music video, as opposed to, you know, before, the only way you could get a music video would be if you had major label backing to pay, you know, the thousands upon thousands of dollars to create a music video. And now, through the DSLRs and affordable software, people are taking it and doing it guerrilla-style video production. It helps increase the visibility of a song, so blogs are more likely to post this song if it has a video attached to it.
I want a will that's stronger than addiction. Want to hear the voice and listen. Rest on intuition, this wisdom. Let my imagination paint my vision. Don't want to miss the blessing. Seek the truth in every lesson. Give thanks for every venture I've been chosen to endeavor. I want my body healed. I want my heart softened. I want to walk it if I'm talking it. Put my all in it. Want to profit without losing who the goddess is. I want a proud mother.
Well, I have two technical questions in terms of making a music video. When you're shooting a music video, and a lot of music videos, you'll have the artist will be singing or rapping, but you'll have it in several different shots. So have you like mapped out what they're going to say in each shot before, or in each shot, do they rap the whole song or sing the whole song?
Most of the videos that I've done haven't been that pre-planned. Some of them we have decided that, say, the first verse is gonna be in A location, and then the second verse would be B location, et cetera. But the others are just, you know, editing decisions, like after we film, like we'll film them performing the entire song in all three locations. And then as I'm editing, just the feel and flow of it and go from there.
Yeah. And I also, my other question is that, is the track playing and then they're singing with the track so that you can sync it up perfectly when you're shooting?
Otherwise it would be a complete nightmare. I have to say that I'm thankful for like MP3 players and things like that, because before, when I was making music videos, we used to have a radio with a disc, a CD player, and we were out somewhere and a battery started dying. So the song was slower in some of the takes than the actual song is. So when I took it back to edit it, it was a nightmare trying to match the syncing up because the song wasn't playing at the speed that it was supposed to.
So I guess in that case, do you just have to like speed up the footage?
Yeah, you have to tweak the pitch of the footage a little bit.
Well, I guess gonna have to do the best we can with the situation. Cause where we get less than we can, that's motivation. Is it ever really gonna change? Stay focused when you point name. Cause we know the rules to the game, no hesitation. When we approach a new life, like a rebirth. New priorities, seeking just what we worth. If we trying to grow, then we plant them seeds first. Sometimes we enter winter and we drop like leaves to earth. Rooted in the ground, we ain't gon' fall. And if we see that paper down, we don't ball. Invisible population, we see y'all all. To generate ascension, it must be us all. To rattle the cages through new patterns.
So your interest in rap and hip-hop goes into your documentaries that you've made. And so the one that we're going to be showing on PBA 30 on September 12th is Change in the Game, and you kind of talked to a lot of Atlanta rappers about what has changed in hip-hop. So through making that, what were some of the biggest changes that you discovered?
One that I hadn't thought about was the audience has changed. Before, they didn't really pay attention as much to the numbers as far as like who's selling what. But now, you know, a lot of artists are judged by the audience through those numbers, how many records are sold, and it's less about their technical skill versus how much they can sell a record.
Does my pencil possess potential to change mentals? Yes. Short with your pen in this pack with the essential less. What is essential to keep it as sharp as a ginsel? Yes. What is essential to keep it like a temple? Blast all to the temple, keeping the beat simple and fresh. While they whimper and rest, I'm intuition like the simplest guess. Into tradition, I'm on a mission until I transition to give the up and coming a better existence.
One of your other documentaries, Underexposed, where you're looking at a lot of the underground artists who are here in Atlanta. The term I think that was passed around was it like rap gumbo? Was one
hip-hop
term.
Gumbo.
Hip-hop gumbo was one expression that was used. Could you talk a little bit about that and maybe the diversity that's in Atlanta?
Yeah. So when I first relocated to Atlanta, I kind of had the perception that most people do, that, you know, the music scene was going to be like one-sided. It's only going to sound like a certain artist. But, you know, as I got more involved in the scene, I found out that there's a wide variety of artists here. And it didn't occur to me that since Atlanta is such a big transplant city that, you know, they continue to express themselves the way that they know how. They don't, you know, try to become a quote-unquote Southern artist, you know, whether it's through music or visual or whatever. They continue to express themselves the way that they know how, and it contributes to the tapestry that is Atlanta's creative community.
Hold tight to your dreams, cause if your dreams die, life turns into the kind of bird that can't even fly. Blown cash from Georgia. A blown cash from Georgia. This ride ain't what it seems, the drivers are telling lies. Believe in what you can touch and see with both of your eyes. Blown cash from Georgia. This is a blown cash from Georgia. Turn the radio up, it's clear, this isn't the FM here. I'm just by the peers that should accept him for years. I've been part of the struggle, turned to the hustle. What was supposed to be a hug at first, it turned into a cuddle. And I ain't slang a rockers on, but with cops.
Then in your, is Divided Time your most recent project that you've done? And so that was in the Atlanta Film Festival this year and has been in a lot of other festivals. It focuses on fatherhood of hip-hop artists who then had children and kind of what they have to do, what sacrifices they have to make to their craft and to raise children. As I hear, they take up a lot of time, kids do. But why did you want to focus on this topic particularly?
There's several reasons. The main one was it's kind of a tribute to my father, who was not a rapper, but he was just an average, everyday person. But we don't really talk about the average, everyday fathers out there who are doing what they have to do to take care of their responsibilities. And, you know, I believe that everyone has dreams and everything, and we often have to put those aside for everyday life responsibilities. Another part was I just wanted to help put out a more positive image to show that there are good hip hop artists who are also responsible adults.
And so, yeah, particularly for, you know, artists, mothers or fathers, the craft or the thing that you do, the money is not going to necessarily ever come to you through that way. So for some of the hip hop artists that you selected to interview for the documentary, why did you choose those artists and what were kind of some of their narratives and stories and some of the things that they had to kind of compromise between their art and their kids?
I chose the artists based on knowing that they're really active in their child's life. That was the main priority. And then the second one, I had to be a fan of the music that they created, their art. There were more artists that I considered, but I didn't want to do too many because I wanted to be able to expand more on each artist in their life. They had to decide between spending, you know, most of their time creating, working in a studio versus getting a job, you know, a full-time job. They had different histories with their fathers. So some of them had good relationships with their fathers, some of them had stepfathers, and some of them didn't know their fathers at all. They had left early on in their life. And, you know, all of those situations were catalysts for them to be active in their child's life.
And is there any kind of, you know, like hope at the end of the tunnel of, you know, you can be a good father, you can be a good parent and still have a successful musical career? You still can have the time and energy to invest into your craft.
Right. They're all still actively creating. Two of the artists are, you know, full-time artists as well. So there is hope that you can pursue your dream full-time and still be a responsible parent. So I wouldn't give up. I would just, you know, let people know that it's not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination.